Welcome to this week's episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller Podcast. I am your host, Peter Wheatmartian, and I am joined this week, as always, by Colleen and KZ. This week, we have a very special episode in store for you. First off, we have two segments this week. The first segment, as we always do, is the Biz Buzz segment. In this week's Biz Buzz segment, we talk about an article written by author Brandon Sanderson, specifically regarding Audible and royalties that Audible is paying out to authors, and kind of a little bit about his background on his decision to not release his books on Audible last year. And he kind of goes into more depth than that, and we talk about Audible royalties and just the ins and outs of how an author might come across the different audiobook intricacies that you come across with Audible. Then in our second segment this week, we have a very new, brand new segment that KZ is going to lead. And this is a small look into the fiction world. It is, we are calling it Tales and Threads. And KZ is going to talk about the issues and the different events going on in the fiction world. She'll explain a little bit more when she gets to that that new segment, but we think that you're really going to enjoy this. Whether you're a fiction writer or a non-fiction writer, I think everything that KZ talks about in this week's episode is applicable to all of us as writers, and I'm sure that her segment moving forward is going to be really informative for everyone who writes. Now, we do aim to have this segment be a once-a-month segment, so we will still have all of our guest segments and other segments interspersed throughout the episodes coming up. So like I said, Tales and Threads will be a monthly episode, or a monthly segment on an episode, and we hope that you enjoy this. If you do enjoy the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast, whether it's the Biz Buzz, the Tales and Threads, or our guest interviews, or really any part of the show, please be sure to like and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And please help spread the word about the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast. Share the link with one of your friends or your colleagues or your fellow writers, and let them know that the show's out there. We're always looking to have more writers listen along and help other writers and authors discover their dream of publishing their book. And we've got a lot more great content coming your way in the future. I'm really excited to have a new segment come out early April for you, in addition to what we've already talked about. So I'll just leave that little spoiler there for you. So we hope you enjoy this week's episode. And without further ado, here is our Biz Buzz segment talking about Audible and royalties. And welcome to this week's Biz Buzz segment. I'm joined by Colleen and KZ, as always. And this week, we have a pretty interesting topic that we're going to cover. It's mostly going to cover Audible and royalties, but it's geared specifically towards an article author Brandon Sanderson wrote a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who do not know who Brandon Sanderson is, he is a fantasy fiction sci-fi writer, very, very popular. I think probably his biggest series is the Mistborn series. So if you've heard of that series, that's the author of that series. I think he is probably also one of the biggest self-publishers or
maybe not just self-publishers, but independent authors. And he does a lot of advocating for the self-publishers, the independent authors. First of all, let me just first ask Colleen or KZ, have you read any of Brandon's work?
No, I'm not a sci-fi fiction fantasy person, so I haven't.
I have.
Oh, I think you write about those, don't you, Candy?
Yeah, I do.
I started actually just earlier this year in January. That was the first book I read this year. Was the first Mistborn book. So I'm hopping on the Brandon Sanderson train, and I've enjoyed it. Candy, how do you like his books?
Oh, I've always enjoyed them. I have not read all of them, but I picked him up years ago when he first started coming out, and I have enjoyed them on a regular basis, but not every basis. So, yep.
Yeah, Colleen.
Let me clear that up. I am not a fantasy, sci-fi, that type of person, but I do like fiction, comedy, some romance. But I do like fiction because I think I just said I don't like fiction. Yes, I do.
I think Brandon's work is good, and like I said, he does a lot of advocating for those people who are not necessarily in the big five publishers, big four publishers. So his article, I will put a link in the show notes to his article where he explicitly talks about this. But like I said, a couple of weeks ago, he came out with an article that covered Audible royalties specifically, and kind of over the last year, he didn't actually use Audible. He didn't release any books on Audible. So a couple things, like I said, I'll put that article in the show notes. Also, a couple of weeks ago in January, we had a Publishing Biz Buzz grab bag, and we actually talked a little bit about audiobooks. So if you want to go back into your feed and listen to that, you can get a little bit of a primer on what audiobooks are. And then going all the way back to our very second episode, KZ talked a little bit about royalties. Again, another thing that's going to come up today. So if you want to go back and listen to either of those podcasts, then you'll probably have a better understanding of what we're going to talk about today. But whether you've listened to those or not, I think you're going to learn a lot today. So let me first begin by saying what basically caught my attention. So like I said, Brandon Sanderson over the last year didn't release any of his books on Audible or any of his new books on Audible. And the reason was he did not feel that the royalties that authors were receiving from Audible when a book is sold, were one enough, and two, he also didn't feel that the reporting for what was being reported from Audible to the authors was really clear enough. So it was a very confusing process. And what he ended up doing is over the last year, because of his status as an author, he ended up talking with Audible to try to help clear up some of these things. And over the last year, he found that, there's still going to be changes coming, but he's kind of got a better understanding on it. So he's now going to start releasing on Audible. I want to first quickly ask KZ, since you are a writer yourself, and I know you've talked a little bit about audiobooks as well, have you, what is your experience with Audible been?
Audible is a phenomenal service for the reader. It's not so great for the writers. It never has been. And it's, I won't say it's a monopoly because it isn't, but it is definitely one of the biggest players. And if you're going to, as a writer, put your books out on ebook, they have been for a long time pretty much the only game in town. That's changing. Mm-hmm. And that's not the topic of this biz buzz, so I won't go there. But there are a lot of changes coming in the world of audiobooks. driven totally 100% by the readers. Mm-hmm. People want to listen to their books. Mm-hmm. Not everyone. I mean, we're going to talk another biz buzz. We're going to talk about the fact that your printed books are stronger now than ever before, but they're also right up there, the audiobooks. So as a writer, that's our future, is to get our books on audio, mm-hmm. but it's also still a huge challenge. And in part, it's not worth the payment, doesn't always become worthwhile for the investment, because you have mm-hmm. to pay. You have to, there are, it's not free. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. It's still not possible to do an audiobook for free in the same way you can do, you can publish your own book pretty much for free mm-hmm. as in a print book. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a great explanation. And, you know, I think one thing we've all talked in the past about the cost that it, or some of the costs that go into a print or an ebook, but we haven't really talked about the cost of an audiobook. And I'm glad you brought that up. So that is true. There are additional costs for authors when they're working on an ebook or on an audiobook.
Yep. And pretty hefty if you want to have a good quality audiobook. Still, even with the changes that are coming with AI, it still is not going to be an inexpensive process to add an audiobook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. So let me then kind of dig in just a little bit more to what the specific things that Brandon wrote in his article were. So the first one I mentioned a little bit before is he was concerned with the opacity of the reporting of what does it actually mean when a book is sold, how much Audible works on a credit basis. So one thing he was really worried about was how much of an Audible credit was given to an author, and what was the accounting behind that. The other thing that he was seriously concerned about was the actual royalty percentage. So the great thing about digital products, whether it be a book, whether it be in ebook or an Audible audiobook, but whether it's that, whether it's digital music, digital video games, digital any kind of product, is there's no like cost to actually create individual it doesn't cost anything for Audible to create an Audible file to give to you, if that makes sense. There's no production cost, if that makes sense. So the royalties are usually quite high. He was saying that some video games and some musicians get somewhere between like 70 and 80% of sale cost. But with Audible, it was down to like 25, and some going as high as 40%. So that's like 50% of what other digital creators were getting. So he was definitely concerned about that. And the one thing that I do like is he makes a specific note of saying how he could have gotten a better deal for himself, but he thought that the entire state of the industry was it was concerning. So he wanted to have better changes across the industry and not just for himself. So I thought that was a pretty cool thing that he did there.
I'd have to agree with you there, Peter. And I think Colleen and I were talking about that earlier. Colleen, what were you telling me about that?
I just think it's great when I read that he wasn't just concerned about himself. He's concerned about all the authors and what is happening to them. And, you know, no matter if it's an Audible or whatever, but the author pays for that Audible, like you said, to be produced. And mm-hmm. that's money that they're putting out, besides the money that they've taken if they're self-publishing or indie publishing, that they put out to get the book published in the first place. So I think it's great that he wasn't just concerned about himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the best thing that I think that's come out of this, is that he's, you know, pushing for industry-wide change, which is just so important, I think. Before we move into what actually is what changes we're actually starting to see. Is there anything else about what Brandon's concerns were that you guys want to bring up, or are we good to move on?
Peter, I want to just go back again and just say the importance on reporting, the important part mm-hmm. of the reporting. We're talking about the author. We're talking about the essentially the publisher of the audiobook. But there are also teams of people who go into creating those audiobooks. And while the publisher of the audiobook only has essentially a one-time fee and maybe a minimal maintenance that they've got to pay, the reality is that there's an entire industry that is built around providing services for digital work. And opacity in reporting for what people are actually being paid and what people are actually and what companies are actually paying to produce, that's really just as important as it is that he's that we're at that that as it is that that fair yeah I can't speak today fairness in reporting and fairness in payment, both mm-hmm. are good.
Yeah, that's so true. So that's actually great, because you know it leads us into kind of what new changes we're going to see. He doesn't go into specifics, you know, and I'm sure that Audible, and you know, if you guys don't know, Audible is owned by Amazon, so we all know what their let's just say lack of transparency can be. So I'm sure we won't see this specifically spelled out anywhere, but you know, Brandon's article mentions that he has worked on a new structure of payments for royalties, basically from Audible to the author. So here's directly from his article. He says, you know, there's going to be new minimum royalty rates for authors, and the structure will move to a system that he's requested, or closer to that, where you're going to actually have a more predictability for each credit spent from Audible to the author, and it's going to be more transparent, which I think is really good. One neat thing that I did come across is Audible is now going to be paying royalties monthly instead of quarterly, which I think is definitely good for the author.
Yes. It also makes reporting easier if they're keeping track of it and reporting it monthly.
Yeah, that's so true. I think it's a lot easier to see maybe trends, and it's a lot easier for authors to kind of grasp, you know, what works and what doesn't work. I'm just going to take a quick stab or a quick like aside here, but you know, if you're really marketing your audiobook in January, but you don't get your sales report until March, you can go a long way without knowing whether or not your stuff's working or not.
That's for sure. And that's the system we're all working under, though.
Right. And I think this new move might help us better target how authors, how publishers can reach their readers. Really, that's the hope.
Oh, I agree, Peter. And I'll tell you, I think that both as an author and as a publisher, I think the more power we keep in the hands of the creators and of the people who are actually out there in the trenches creating the content, the better off the readers will be and the industry as a whole.
Yeah, I think that's so true. You know, I think too often we forget that it's, you know, like these big publishers and, you know, big companies that are selling books, whether it be, you know, Simon & Schuster or Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever, a lot of those places wouldn't be where they are without the authors and the, you know, the writers who are creating the works for them. So yeah, it is important to keep the focus in on those writers. You know, and I think the next thing that he does make mention on is, like I said, he doesn't go into the super technical side of things because you know, it's technical, and Amazon, I'm sure, doesn't want all those specifics released, but you know, it doesn't fix everything, but he says like the 70% royalty rate, which he was really pushing for, it's not going to be there, but it's, you know, it's going to be an increase on the 25 to the 40% that we were seeing before. Now, one thing that he says that he's not quite, he's not quite happy with yet is authors are still going to have a little bit of basically no control over the pricing of an audiobook. So I think that's going to be something that we can look at in the future on how Audible's pricing books. KZ, have you had any experience with Audible pricing as an author?
Audible pricing is terribly confusing because essentially the audiobook is priced at one level, but it's given out to the users, the readers, at another level because they pay for it, they get credits. Mm-hmm. You read a book based on a credit that you bought. So you're not really buying the book at the price. You're buying the book, you're buying two credits or three credits or however many credits it takes to read that particular or to listen to that particular book. So it's extremely confusing for the author to plan and to figure out exactly how they're going to make any money at all on audiobooks.
Yeah, and that's so true. And the one thing that he makes mention of here is the Audible credit cost hasn't changed for, he says, almost two decades. And Audible doesn't really need to raise that. Like I said, there's not a lot of cost to Audible when they sell a book. So why would they have to raise it necessarily? So, you know, it's difficult. And I think actually, I don't know if we're going to do this or not, but I think maybe a look at Audible and kind of what the credit system is in Audible might be a good biz buzz for us to cover in the future.
Yeah, so I think so. Let's plan on that one, Peter.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Yeah, definitely.
I just think that just even in our talk here today, we've kind of noticed how confusing this Audible can be for, you know, for authors specifically. Yeah. So, you know, I think that, like I said, the article that Brandon wrote is going to be in the show notes, so you guys can go and read that more specifically. And one area that he did mention, he did link to an article he wrote at the end of 2022. So that's, you know, a while ago, but it was kind of where he first mentioned he was not going to use Audible. So between those two articles, I think you can get a lot of good information about where he's coming from, the changes that he's pushing, and kind of what we're going to see. So, you know, I think we've kind of covered what we can talk about today. Like I said, he's, you know, pushing for more clear reporting and definitely higher royalty rates, maybe not up to that 70-80% that he mentioned, but, you know, still more than the 25-40%. The only other thing that we haven't, you know, really covered, and I don't really want to touch on too much, but there are some benefits if you go specifically exclusively to Audible, you get a little bit higher royalty rates, but I don't really want to dig into that because that's even more, that's a whole other can of worms.
Yes, it is. Let's not do that today.
But you know, Colleen, KZ, is there anything that we haven't talked about yet?
I don't think so. I think you guys covered a great amount of information.
Yeah, my last thoughts would be on this would be to keep your eyes open. If you're an author, keep your eyes open. A lot of changes coming. I think the changes will be for the good. There is a time coming when it will be possible to have an audiobook added to your print and your ebook combination all at the same time and come out with a full plate of media options for books. But we're not there yet. This is a good step in the right direction, but we've got a lot of ways to go yet.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a good step in the right direction. And, you know, I want to thank both Colleen and KZ. Thanks for joining me for the episode or the Biz Buzz for this week's episode. And we will be back next week with more topics on what's coming out in the publishing world. So thank you both.
Thank you. This week's episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast is brought to you by us at The Author's Voice and our free writing planner. In today's world, it feels as if we can no longer focus on what is important to us, but with our writing planner, you can make sure to keep track of all of your writing goals. Writing is an important part of your daily routine, and you want to make sure that you can plan out everything for your book. We've been there and we get it, so stop trying to balance your work, your social life, and your writing, and be sure to get your writing plans down on paper. Our free writing planner helps you make progress on your book with three easy steps. First, use the planner to schedule your daily writing time. Second, you can write down all of your daily goals in the writing planner. And third, you can keep track of all of the progress from your daily, weekly, to your monthly goals and beyond. Download your free writing planner today at the link in the show notes.
Welcome to Tales and Threads, where we will talk about fiction with and for fiction writers. In this podcast series, we aim to be your go-to resource for all things fiction writing and publishing. I invite you to join me, KZ, your host, as we dive into the nuts and bolts of creating captivating stories and sharing them with the world. Each episode is planned to inform, entertain, and inspire while covering the essentials of writing fiction and being published. On today's episode, we will discuss reading and writing, but maybe not exactly as you might think. As a writer, immersing yourself in the works of your chosen field is essential. We all understand that. For fiction writers, I think it's especially important to stay abreast of what's happening in your genre, because the reading public changes its favorites on a regular basis. Let's face it, we never know exactly where the top sellers are going to appear in what genre and what new combination of genres will pop up. By reading extensively in your own genre, you gain a deep understanding of the conventions, the tropes, and the expectations of your readers, obviously, but also of other writers. This is a great way to gain followers and fans, because reading in your genre, staying up on what's happening in your genre, allows you to continue to write stories that will resonate with your readers. Plus, everybody likes variety. And if you aren't reading in your field, you don't know what others are writing. And you also don't know what else your readers are reading. So reading widely in your field is going to expose you to a lot of variety in styles, in writing voice, and in the techniques that are used by other authors. I encourage you to learn from the successes and failures of other authors. Look at the bestseller list on a regular basis. I will tell you, I look every week at the bestsellers in my market. Every single week, I want to know who's up and coming. I want to know why they're up and coming if I never heard of them, and I want to see also what's coming out that I just don't know where it came from and why it's still in left field. Okay, I want to learn the lessons, both for and negative, okay, both positive and negative, I guess is what I want to say. And then I want to apply that to my own writing plan. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, because pretty much every fiction writer I know has chosen to write in the genre that you love reading, okay? But that's also the real reason I chose this topic today. Reading widely is a habit that every writer should develop. I feel this strongly. What I mean by that is you have to see what's happening in the big picture. If all you're reading is the fun stuff, you'll be in your own little cocoon. And that's great as a reader, but it's not so great as a writer. When you are creating, you need to see more than your cocoon. Okay. Stretch yourself as a reader, and that will help you to stretch yourself as a writer. Think about it. Read a book about growing a business. You're a writer. You have a book business. So apply what you learn from that nonfiction book about growing a business to your book business. Read a book about how AI use is impacting all of us in many ways, and then decide from an informed point of view how you're going to use AI in your work or not. Do you write mysteries? Then read a few thrillers and grab some of the techniques you see in those books to boost the readability of your stories. I think you're getting the idea here. Cross-pollinization can help you stand out as a writer and keep your books fresh and innovative. And hey, who knows? You might invent a new subgenre by cross-pollinization of your ideas or by revitalizing a group of tired tropes. Now, I know you're going to say you don't have time to read. None of us do. But we also make time for it. If you can't read, listen. This is a great way to take advantage of the technology that's available now. But choose your tech wisely, and you can listen to your books almost anywhere and anywhen. So if you can't read it, listen. Hey, you're on a podcast. You're doing exactly what I said. I think the best reason to read widely is to improve your overall writing skills, though. Every genre has its own strengths and weaknesses, and by studying a diverse range of work, and I mean book work, writing work, you can identify and use the best practices from every place across the writing and publishing field. So elevate your writing. I think you should read a lot. I think you should be eclectic in your topic choices. And I think that it's important to make reading a priority in your writing journey. I think if you do this, you will see your skills and your creativity both will flourish. You know, people are creatures of habit. Yeah, I know you know that. Writers are people, though, so I kind of have to say that. The easiest way to incorporate reading into a busy life as a writer is to make it a part of your writing habit. As a writer, success comes by embracing a regular pattern of activity. We call this pattern a writing habit. This is kind of a little bit off the wall, but I think it's an important piece of the whole process of writing that is overlooked by many newcomers to the field. And oftentimes, people who've been writing a long time find that they have to go back in and redevelop an effective habit. So let's talk about this in a little bit more detail. The first rule of a successful writing habit is be consistent and disciplined. It's important to set aside a dedicated time to write each day, or as often as you're able, and still maintain a balance of living. Daily writing is ideal. Not everyone can do it. So make it fit into your life, but make it fit. Create that habit. Make your writing a priority. Make your writing habit a priority. And make with yourself and with your family and with those that are around you, make your writing habit a non-negotiable commitment. Whether you're dedicating an hour in the morning or a few hours in the evening or whatever consistent writing routine makes you a better writer, commit to it and don't give it up for anything less than an earthquake. Well, that's not a nice thing to say, but you get the idea. The next rule, if you will, of creating a successful writing habit is to be consistent with your output. And I say it that way because that's the kind of goal you want to set. Because goal setting is really what's important. The second piece that's important is you've got to set goals and you've got to set milestones. If you just sit down and say, I'm going to write for 2 hours every morning and have no idea what you're writing about, well, you're going to look at a lot of empty pages on your screen or on your tablet, whatever you're using to write on, is just going to be an empty screen, or you're just going to write nonsense. You have to have a plan, and part of a plan is setting goals. And for writing, part of your goals is to set some sort of output goal. It might be a daily word count. I'm not one who's really good on that, but a lot of writers do extremely well by maintaining a daily word count goal. That it's a target to go toward. And when you're working, depending on where you are in the process, you may have fewer or more light fewer or more words in those in that target. Maybe you've got a weekly goal to set a chapter, to write a chapter every week. I have one writer I work with who is currently writing a chapter every 2 weeks, and it's working extremely well for her. Or maybe you're on a monthly milestone. For you, it works better to say, I'm going to take one Saturday a month and I'm going to write. Or I'm going to take one day this month and I'm going to write. Whatever the objectives are, you need to choose it, to create it, to own it. And once you own the goal and actually start pushing towards reaching that goal, just that in itself, reaching the goal becomes a focus and keeps you motivated. So there's one other part that I want you to think about here as well. Goal setting. Well, let me back up a step. I don't want to overlook the importance of goal setting. You also need to, another element of the whole process of choosing a goal and is creating a milestone. You have to then measure the output. So if you set a goal to write a chapter a month and it's been 3 months since you wrote a chapter, it's time to take a look at that. It's past time to take a look at that goal and revise it. A goal is something that is a target you're always reaching toward. It should always be a little bit out of reach, and you should be flexible enough to revise it either up or down whenever it's necessary. And it needs to be revised on a regular basis. The goal, the fact of the habitual part in this is having the goal. What's not habitual is always saying, I will write 10,000 words in this month. That's not always going to work. But a goal to complete a certain amount of something in a certain amount of time is measurable. Revision is the third part of the writing habit that I think is critical. And I know this is often overlooked and not considered part of the writing habit, but it is, it should be. I won't say it's a mistake, but one of the challenges that I see, especially beginning writers, but I also see this happen with experienced writers, make is they sit down and as they're writing, they just keep going back over the same paragraph and rewriting it again and again and again. I admit, I am guilty of this as well. Okay. As a writer, it's normal. It's part of the normal process to write it and maybe to rewrite it a couple of times. But you cannot start your next day by rewriting the entire work of the previous day. This is a first draft. When you sit down to start writing, you are writing a first draft. Learn effective self-editing techniques that will allow you to develop your process and create the first draft. Then edit the first draft. Then send that edited version out for feedback and professional editing. In the beginning, it's important to get your story down so that you can see the big picture. Then go back and revise and refine and polish to your heart's content. Well, maybe not. If you keep going, there's the other end of that, which is eventually you have to say, I've done enough. That's almost as hard as starting for some people, but it is a part of the process. And we'll talk about that one another day. Embracing revision and feedback also requires a certain amount of humility and a willingness to learn to grow as a writer. You've got to be open to your own criticism as well as criticism of others and not take it personally. So revision is how you improve your craft. I have seen it happen more than once with coaching clients that I've worked with. And as you start out as a writer, as you're learning to write, you're also learning to revise. And both of the synergy between the writing and revision process is what hones your skills and allows you to produce your best work. These three characteristics of a good writing habit are the foundation of writing success. In future episodes of this podcast, I'll be digging into each of these topics. And I just want to let you know right now what they are so you can be thinking about this. It's consistency, discipline, and dedication, goals and milestones, and self-editing and revision. These are the tricks of the trade, so to speak, that are necessary for each of us to develop and make our own. It really does not matter how fantastic a story is that's in your head if you don't get it written. So go ahead, please, and create and maintain a writing habit that encourages, that boosts, and that enables you to get that story out of your head, onto a page, and into the hands of a reader.
Podcast is a production of The Author's Voice. I have been your host, Peter Wheatmartian, and I want to thank KZ and Colleen for joining me on this episode to discuss all things writing, publishing, and speaking. Do you have questions about today's topic or would like to be a guest on a future episode? You can learn more about The Author's Voice on our website, theauthorsvoice.org, or send our team an email at info@theauthorsvoice.org. You can stay in touch with Candy, Colleen, and Peter through The Author's Voice on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Links to all of those can be found in the show notes. If you have enjoyed the episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review on the podcast app of your choice. Also, please help us spread the word about the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast by sharing the episode on your social media or by introducing a friend, a colleague, an author, or anyone who would enjoy the discussion to the show.